Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Kenyon. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. Let me start by sharing a plan that we have put in place for this show and some changes that we're going to be making over time from 8 Seconds Media, the 8 Seconds Media Facebook and social media sites. We're going to add an extra podcast or two a week. And it will depend a little bit on who I have a chance to interview and who I have a chance to talk to. But in reality, I've got a lot more interviews every week than I'm able to use. And so it makes no sense not to put out another podcast or two and let you hear from the people who are making the news. And that's exactly what we will be doing. Our Legends of the Hall podcast this weekend, it'll be a best of show. You'll have a chance to hear from Paul Tierney and the aftermath of his son, Paul David Tierney, winning the Timed Event Championships at the Lazy E Arena for the third time. We will bring you that interview along with a little bit from Dave Appleton, the Lone Roo. Had a chance to bump into Dave over the weekend, and I wanted to share his thoughts again. That will be the Legends of the Hall podcast this week. You'll hear from two of the greatest of all time. But we're going to talk a lot about the American. We're going to talk a little bit about Rodeo Houston, and we're going to wade into one story that has made some headlines, sadly. And I'm just going to say it right up front. Brandon Cullins is a hell of a horse trainer. He is a great barrel racer. He is a really good hand. And congratulations, Brandon Cullins, for winning the barrel race and $1.1 million at the American. A few people have spouted off online about a man winning that competition. Y'all need to understand, the format at the American has allowed men to compete every single year at the American Rodeo. Brandon Cullins was not in the championship round for the first time in his career. It was the third or fourth time that Brandon has had a chance to run for that $1 million. And this year, his horse, MJ Seeger's Fastlane, proved to be absolutely exceptional at what she does. I just shared a link on my Facebook page for a story that Kendra Santos wrote. And I simply slugged it this way, as usual, Kendra nails it. But in that article, Kendra went to some other very well-known barrel racers, including Sherry Servey and Haley Kinzel. Haley, you'll remember, has a three-time history of winning the American Rodeo, and asked them, cowgirls, what they thought. And to a lady, they all said, good for Brandon. Cassie Mowry said this, it was clear from the beginning, this was the team to watch to get her to be consistent. He was patient and worked diligently, talking about his horse, to make it all happen. And that was from Haley. That was from Cassie Mowry. Jordan Briggs, a 2021 world champion. I broke my ankle in 2021, had two Futurity horses entered in a big Futurity. Rolo entered in the Derby. Brandon was the first person I called to ride my horses when I could not do it. And this from Lisa Lockhart, the 17-time NFR qualifier and number one money winner in the history of the WPRA. The American is not a normal rodeo. And part of what makes it unique is the opportunity it gives to everyone. The little girl could have won it just as easily as Brandon. Remember, there was a 16 and a 17-year-old that made it to the championship round on Saturday night, or at least made it to the 10 round on Saturday night. The 16-year-old went on and made it all the way to the final four at the American. While I'm quoting well-known rodeo athletes from that piece that Kendra Santos wrote, here's a quote for you. Quote, Brandon Cullins headed to the bank $1.1 million richer and 0% F-bombs given to all the haters. Bravo. That was written by J.B. Mooney. And you're not going to find a manlier guy than J.B. Mooney. Congratulations to Brandon Cullins on his $1.1 million win at the American Rodeo. Today's show is being sponsored by Wrangler, the official Western wear of professional rodeo. Thank you to Unbeatable Feeds. Congratulations to J.D. Struxness. You're going to hear from J.D. in just a couple of minutes. He's an Unbeatable Feeds cowboy, and he won the steer wrestling at the American Rodeo. That was worth $100,000. Thank you to Resistol. We wear it every day to Prefert, number one in ranch and rodeo, and of course to the Justin Boot Company, the standard of the West since 1879. I want you to check out the new website of M2 Ranch Jerky. They're online at m2-ranch.com. I know I've been telling you this for a while, but every day we get a little bit closer to M2 Ranch Jerky hitting your stores. And some exciting news in our family this week, because we have added a brand new sponsor to everything that we do here on 8 Seconds Media. And that brand new Sponsor is Team Equinity. Equinity Equestrian Products. We're going to be talking about some Equinity Horses of the Week, and we will be telling you all about everything that Equinity does. Give your horse the Equinity edge. You'll find them online at TeamEquinity.com. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, J.D. Struxness talks about winning the American, the steer wrestling champion at the American Rodeo. Later on, our Classic Ropes interview of the week, Anthony Lucia joins us. He was one of the guys in-house to give you some highlights and some background on some of the things that happened at this year's American Rodeo. God bless everybody. I'm Steve Kenyon. Thanks for listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. Congratulations to steer wrestler and unbeatable feeds athlete J.D. Struxness, who just won $100,000 at the American. J.D. Struxness is a five-time qualifier to the National Finals Rodeo. His time of 4.6 in the championship round at the American made him unbeatable. Unbeatable feeds, because your best starts with top-notch nutrition and a feed company you can trust. Learn more about Unbeatable's beet pulp products, including the new forage-only feeds. Log on to unbeatablefeeds.com.
Hey, y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if I'm going to enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler, long live cowboys.
You're listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. Thank you to the Grand View at Las Vegas, the place we stay during the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. Think about the Grand View at Las Vegas, right next door to the South Point, right down the street from the Strip, DailyManagementResorts.com. Now let's talk about Rodeo Houston for just a moment. The most impressive performance at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo so far, the winner of Super Series number 4 in the breakaway roping, Macy Young. She comes from the great Fuller family out of the Northwest, lives in Arizona now. She and her husband Chris Young, a really good team roper, run a rodeo arena and roping arena in Wickenburg, Arizona. She won all three performances of her Super Series in Houston, dominated Super Series 4 times of 2-9, 2-8, and 2-2. In that order, won $9,000, headed to the semifinals. They'll crown champions in Houston on Sunday. Macy said she drew really good cattle.
For sure. I knew that our set of calves was a little softer. There was a few stronger ones, but I did draw on the better end of them all. And honestly, having the horse that I do, it just makes me more comfortable to actually see the start. But when I was 2-2, I really thought I did break the barrier, but I got out. But
you were a little faster on each run, right? The 2-9 was the first run, the 2-8 was the second run, and then you finished it up in style on Saturday with that 2-2.
Yep.
Tell me about the start there. Am I right in thinking that in that football field size arena, that start's pretty important?
It's everything. If you're off of it, you're going to be running them off down there. I was just trying to see a safe start and go get them, except for on the last one, I felt like I ran through it.
Yeah.
But you most definitely have to sit there and make sure you see what you're going to see.
You'll find our complete interview with Macy Young on our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel. J.D. Struxness won the steer wrestling at the American Rodeo, time of 4.6 in the championship round. That was worth $100,000. We talked to J.D. about winning the American.
Oh, man, win the American, you know, that's just an awesome. That's what events like this is what we work for every day, making sure we stay sharp and all that. So to be able to go to the American and get the win, you know, it's your work paying off, and you get a big chunk of money for all the work you put in. And now we have some money to do some things around the place and, you know, different things. And then, you know, you got a good start and confidence to roll on through the year.
Yeah, it must be easier to rodeo. I mean, this takes a lot of your stress off of, you know, just little things like buying fuel and paying entry fees and, you know, travel. And are you going to be able to take care of the family back home while you're out on the road? It must be easier to rodeo when you don't have any of that stuff bothering you. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, no, it definitely takes a bunch of those weights off your shoulder, like you talked about, you know, that big chunk of money and early on in the year. Getting stuff set up, but you know, there's still work to do, so we have to make sure that we get back to work and we keep chipping away at the end goals of the year. You know, this was one goal that we knocked off, but there's still many more to be filled throughout the year. So we just got to keep putting in the work and keep working towards those goals that we have for the end of the year.
JD is a five-time qualifier to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. It doesn't seem to me like you've been around that long. Go to the NFR five times. Five-time NFR qualifier. Tell me about your 4.6. Tell me about that last run at the American.
The last run going into that final round, I had a had all the guys that on my team there, Matt Reeves, Ty Erickson, Hunter Keir, and then Remy Parrott really stepped up there at the American. Matt Reeves' Hayes horse went down just a couple of days before, so we filled the hazing spot with Remy, and that horse that him and Rowdy have, that's a very nice horse, and Remy did a great job hazing. So going into that final round, we all got together and we were talking about it. We really liked the steer for the pen that I had. We knew he was a chance and would give us a chance. And so we just knew we had to go out there and take care of business and do our job. And so we talked about, made sure that we had a comfortable start that was going to get us in the barrier, but stay on the right side of it. And then we went out there and the steer had gained put on some weight since the last time we saw it. So there's a little more steer than we thought was going to be there. But Ty Erickson's horse, he worked great and gave me a good go at him. And then, once I got my hands on him, I knew I just had to slow down and make sure that I got him to lay over good. And, the way everything shook out, it worked out in our favor.
Tell me about that horse of Ty Erickson's, because he's done pretty well on that horse.
That's a great horse of Ty Erickson's. And when I was going through which horse I wanted to ride at the NFR last year, he was on my list, and we got to watch him back and gave Ty a call and told him that that's the horse I'd like to ride at the finals. And so we got hooked up and practiced, and, the horse felt great out there, and my confidence was high on him. So talked to Ty about rodeoing together this year, and he was all about it. And so getting to ride that horse and horses like that plays a huge part in the bulldogging, because he backs in there, and he's so easy in the corner. You're going to get to take the start you want on him, and every time he's going to be running and give you a chance to catch the steer and make a run.
That's steer wrestler JD Struxness. You can watch a complete interview on our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel. You can also check out the Facebook page of Next Gen Rodeo. And, of course, we're partnered now with Next Gen Rodeo and building Next Gen Rodeo Media. You will find those interviews plus our weekly, actually 2-3 times a week now, Western Sports recaps from Next Gen Rodeo Media. Go to Next Gen Rodeo Media's Facebook page and you will find all of the details. And we are going to take a timeout. Classic Ropes and Classic Equine present our featured interviews of the week. Anthony Lucia, along with Garrett Yerrigan, the two guys who are the voices of the American Rodeo, will join us to talk about what he saw at the American. Anthony Lucia is coming up, and we will do that on the other side of this timeout. Thanks for joining us for the Steve Kenyon Podcast.
There's no pretending to being a cowboy. Either you are or you aren't. Which is why everything we do as a company improves or preserves this way of life. The romance, the honesty, the toughness, the craft. More cowboys, please. America could use them. Resist All. We live it every day.
The countdown is on to true traditional cowboy jerky, M2 Ranch Jerky. Beef, buffalo, elk, and venison, all mixed with unique gourmet flavors. Saddle Bronc rider Mitch Pollock says, if you're looking for a traditional, great-tasting jerky, M2 Ranch Jerky has you covered. Learn more about M2 Ranch Jerky and see what the cowboys say on the brand new website, m2-ranch.com. That's m2-ranch.com.
Hi, I'm Trevor Brazil, 26-time PRCA World Champion Cowboy. If you want to keep your horse at the top of their game, you need to have the Equinity Edge. I use Equinity because it's all about the horse. It helps with the longevity and overall maintenance of my horses. Team Equinity is challenging you to try Equinity Horse XL for the next 30 days and beyond. Watch how your horse transforms both in look and feel. To do this, go to teamequinity.com to get started.
This is the Steve Kenyon Podcast. We are adding a couple extra shows. Like I say, we got enough content that I can do a couple of podcasts a week, maybe three, depending on how many people we're able to talk to every week. And I just love doing interviews and highlighting some of the biggest events that are making news and some of the people that are making news in the world of Western sports and professional rodeo and bull riding and all of the events that we get a chance to cover. I'll see some of you in Heppner, Oregon this weekend. Challenge of Champions Tour bull riding in Heppner at St. Patrick's Day weekend. They love St. Patty's Day in the little town of Heppner, Oregon. That's on Saturday, and we'll talk more about that. I'll share an interview with Jason Maddox from the Challenge of Champions bull riding tour on our 8 Seconds Media Facebook page a little bit later this week. Anthony Lucia and Garrett Yerrigan are the guys who have won the last three Announcer of the Year awards in the PRCA. They were also the guys behind the microphone during the American Rodeo on Saturday at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. I asked Anthony to join us for a recap on what happened at the American. Here's what the 2023 Announcer of the Year in Pro Rodeo had to say about the American. Thought I'd get a recap on the American Rodeo from one of the guys who saw every moment of it, Anthony Lucia, along with Garrett Yerrigan, the in-house announcers, and Anthony joins us. That's a long day, Anthony, but I want to compliment you and Garrett on a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a long day, but it's such a fun day, especially working with Garrett and Brad and Matt and then the entire front of house. And they set you up to succeed there. Joe Lavero, and as you know, has done an incredible job over the years of assembling a team that becomes just a unit. Now this is our second year kind of in that at Globe Life within that, I don't want to call it a regime, but under the management of Teton Ridge and things like that. And it's I guess third year, but they've done a really, really good job. So it makes our job far simpler.
Yeah.
There are a lot of moving parts, but it makes our job far simpler.
Yeah, I talked to Garrett about this the other day. Those of us who are just sitting in the audience watching have no idea probably how many instructions you're getting in your ear and how many different, you know, video now and this. Okay, 3 minutes in the break, and I'm not even going to ask you to go there, but I'm sure that there is a lot that nobody knows is happening as you're announcing that rodeo.
Yeah, there's a lot, and the amount of, you know, the amount of people that are on comms, and thankfully we just have one director, but still it can be a lot. And I actually snapped at a friend of mine because I'm getting instruction. We're in a break and I'm getting instruction, the traffic coming out of the break and what we're going to do and where we're going to go and what we need to set up. And a friend of mine, he's a great guy, where we were standing, it was like you had to walk behind us basically on the lower level to get to the VIP area. Well, he was just saying hi and he's like touching my leg. Uh-huh. And I kind of like stomped my leg because I'm trying to listen and talk to John Allen. Yeah. And finally I go, "What do you need?" And I realized it was Tucker and I felt so horrible. He's like, "I'm sorry. I was just going to show you that I got one of your pins from the NFR still." And I was like, "Dang it, I'm sorry." And then, but there was 100 different things going on. And Garrett is so talented and so, he's the easiest guy to work with because, and we both feed off of each other, but where if I'm distracted, then he can pick it up and vice versa. Or if he's talking to the director on where we're going next, then I'm carrying it. And so it's a cohesive unit, but the organization is definitely happening mid rodeo.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Let's talk about the rodeo. One or two highlights for you of that day. What are you going to remember?
Honestly, there's no one moment that stands out to me as just better than the other because every single event, you know, when we had 14 contenders come out, I love the new format where it's the top five in the world from last year's standings, the five contenders, because it gives the contenders more of a chance. And the thing that is for me that stands out is the mere fact that $100,000, like we get caught up in the $1 million bonus so much, but for Cade Saunier, for Sarah Angeloni, for Sage Newman to win $100,000 in one day, it still is baffling. And it's so easy, like I said, it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, Brandon Cullen's winning the million. And I mean, I think that is absolutely unbelievably awesome. But the life-changing money for a competitor, for a Cowboy, no matter how good or bad your season was last year, whatever, $100,000 payday, that's huge.
Yeah, it really is. And people should not diminish. It doesn't count in anybody's world standings, but your bankers darn sure happy to see it. And your travel, you're a team roper too, in addition to being a rodeo announcer. And you can speak to this from this standpoint better than I can. Your travel for the year is now paid for. There's one and a lot of other bills are now paid for. You can go, if you're Sage Newman, he left the American on Saturday, went to Houston on Sunday, won the round on Sunday in Houston. And Sage is so good, he might have done that anyway. But all of a sudden, you're rodeoing without that burden of how am I going to pay the bills in your mind.
Exactly. I mean, and if you think about it, you can think about it even go one step further. If you win $100,000 in one day, everything you make from there on out should be profit.
Yeah.
And for a cowboy or a cowgirl to be able to say that they profited, and no matter how the rest of their year goes, like obviously all the people that won from JD to Shad to Cade to Sarah, and I don't even know if Sarah's going to go enough to make the NFBR again, but for all of those competitors to do that, the rest of the year is gravy. No, I mean gravy, but you're now making money. And like Chad Master said years ago, and we were talking about, you know, what does it take to make the NFR? And he goes, be prepared to spend between $70,000 and $100,000.
Yeah.
And that's just on fees, fuel, maintenance on your existing truck and trailer. That's after the initial investment of horses, of trucks and trailers and everything like that. So it's so neat. You know, a lot of the American took a lot of heat on not being live streamed. And what was so funny is some of the people would say, oh, it's turned into, it's, you know, it's big money now. And I thought to myself, yep, it is big money. But I'm like, they're trying to find a way to not only make where the American makes sense, where they can keep having it,
right?
Because you can't keep losing money over and over again, or at some point then it will go away. But at the end of the day, what the American is able to do for our industry, whether it's us as announcers, whether it's the competitors, they paid out $1.5 million before anybody even showed up to Globe Life Field just this year, just in the last 2 months. And everybody complaining about the live stream or the lack of live stream, rather, get there and watch it. If you are a fan, get there and watch it. And I know that, you know, I watched the broadcast last night about the Tin Man on FS1. And so, you know, yes, are we spoiled because of what the Cowboy Channel does, where they just stream hundreds and thousands of rodeos a year? Might not be thousands, but could be 900 rodeos a year, whatever it is. Absolutely, we're spoiled on that end. But on the same hand, what are the rodeos paying out $3.3 million?
Exactly. And that you brought up a key word there. I was at RFD TV and rural radio when the American started, when Richie Champion won that $1 million in 2014. I have a screenshot that Richie's family took of me describing that ride in 2014 on the radio. And Randy Bernard, who was the American, was his idea initially, told us all, we're going to lose money on this thing for a while until it turns around and makes a profit. And that was that was a decision at the time. Eventually, these things have to be profitable or they don't happen. Bottom line. I mean, that's a business.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and like I tried to tell people last year when it was streamed on Teen Todd Rage Plus, there was people complaining about the streaming.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know how you win.
I don't know. I don't want to live on this forever, but you know, sometimes first world problems are very comical things. How's that?
They are.
Yeah.
The reason I got on that is just because you asked me what stood out to me, what specific moment, and I can't just pick one, because the entire day and the life-changing money and the performances that we got to witness, for me, that was the standout moment.
The day was full of highlights. I live in a family of barrel racers. I've gotten to know Brandon Cullins, watching him win $1.1 million. That horse, And for him to say, people need to remember, speaking of people who have first world problems and say things they shouldn't online, Brandon's had three or four shots at that $1 million over the last 10, 11 years. He got it done this year on the horse that he described as the best horse he's ever ridden. For Brandon Collins to say that MJ Seeger's Fast Lane, or I forget the name exactly, but for him to say that horse is the best horse he's ever ridden, that's a hell of a compliment to a horse, because he's ridden a lot of nice horses.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and that's – and I mean, and just like that opportunity 10 years ago or 11 years ago at that, 12 years ago, that would have never been a thing. And with their partnership with the BBR and different things like that, it allows literally everybody to showcase their abilities, from the 16-year-old Riley Joe to the 58-year-olds, you know, Dr. Kathy Grimes and Lisa, and then for Brandon. And that's what, you know, and there, and I'm going to be honest, I wasn't always a fan of that, because I'm such a diehard old school pro rodeo guy, that it was at first hard for me to fully embrace the fact of male barrel racers having the opportunity. But on the same token, I got to thinking, if I'm going to have a problem with that, then I need to have a problem with little girls and 16-year-olds getting in there too, who might be lighter, or who, you know, people, we could find something, some way to say, well, they have an advantage too.
Yeah.
So it's like, at the end of the day, our industry is growing at a rapid pace. And the fact that history was made on Saturday evening in Arlington, Texas, and a guy who's worked his entire life for that moment, and for him to be able to do that on such an incredible equine athlete, because that's also, forget about who's jockeying.
Yeah.
Just watch the horse. I mean, if you got an issue with that, just watch the horse and just let that take over, because that was unbelievable. Watching it last night, that horse is just a freak.
That, I think that's a great way to describe it. That horse is a freak. So how prepared were you and Garrett for the write-off potential in the bull riding on Saturday night? It came down to the last ride for Creek Young. Otherwise, we were having a write-off with two guys who were both eligible to share the
lead,
right?
We were. I love Creek Young. I love him. I mean, I've loved him since he first came on the scene. But we were full. I mean, we had already talked. We'd already had planning meetings, and we had stock ready. We knew what the write-off animals were going to be. We knew how they're going to be seated. After last year's write-off between Stetson and Dawson, everyone was far more prepared for the potential of that. And when it would have been when Jeff went and rode his bull, and then the score pops up, Garrett and I almost jumped out of our boots, because we were like, holy, here it is. And as announcers, that's the kind of stuff. Like last year, I'll never forget. I was in the arena because I stayed in the arena during the write-off last year because I was doing the interviews. And so I got to set up Stetson Wright's final ride in the arena, standing 3 feet from him, watching him lower himself onto the back of that horse. And
I am so jealous just hearing you tell that story, but keep going.
I mean, well, it's you want to talk about something you never forget.
Yeah.
It's that. And I mean, it still is one of my greatest rodeo highlights ever.
Yeah.
And but we were prepared for that. We were excited for it. But then Creek, and he kind of got a little out of shape at the start of that ride. But when that bull, I told him afterwards, when that bull changed directions and he rode him through it, I knew he was going to have enough to beat those guys. And I mean, how can you not be happy for that? But a write-off, knowing that it would be a 600,000, somebody was going to add 500,000 to their earnings, and it was going to be a $600,000 ride, I was chomping at the bit for that opportunity.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. And I'm with you. I might be the president of the Creek Young Fan Club. He is something special.
Yeah, he's such a good boy.
Let me ask you about the tie-down roping event. I was sincerely rooting for one person who did not make it to the four-round, Caleb Smith. He seems to be enjoying his retirement. He makes it all the way to the American, and he wins two out of three go-rounds in his Super Series in Houston. But I was really enjoying that. But that four-round, Anthony, I have a theory, And my theory is this. The thing that has made tie-down roping a fan-favorite event, especially at the National Finals Rodeo, but across a lot of the events we announce, is through the years, the rivalries that have developed. Fred Whitfield / Cody Ohl. Now we have Shad Mayfield, Haven Medjid, Riley Webb. All three of them are going back-to-back-to-back in that four round. Shad is having a year that rivals what he did in 2020, and he just won the American. But I just thought that was – J. Cody Jones, I've known him for a long time. I first met him when he was 14 years old. He was the kid that was million-dollar eligible. I'm babbling. I need to ask a question here.
No, you're good.
Those guys, there is something special brewing in the tie-down roping with those guys that I think we're going to be able to love and enjoy and brag about for the next 10 or 15 years.
Without a doubt. Absolutely without a doubt. And it, to me, it rivals the rivalry of Cody Ohl, Fred Whitfield, Blair Berg.
Yeah.
You know, those guys. But what we're seeing with Riley, Haven, and Shad is we're seeing three different styles, and we got a taste of it at the NFR last year when Haven goes out in 6'4", and then Shad 6'1", calf gets up. And then Riley is just, I mean, every round just doing exactly what he needs to do, wins second in the aggregate, you know, puts on such a show. There was never a moment where he coasted to victory. There was never a moment where you're like, I know mathematically it's impossible for Haven Medjid to win the world right here, but it still feels like he could win the world right here.
I agree totally.
And watching those guys, and that's just a testament to J. Cody doing what he did. And then when Riley jumps out there and goes 8-2, and I felt I hated it for J. Cody that he went first, but I also thought that would be, in that scenario, the best place for him to be if he was going to have a chance at that million, because he can go out there and make a good run. And because he'll be the first to tell you, I mean, I watched him at the California Circuit Finals. He's a little longer in the tooth, doesn't rodeo like these guys do. And I mean, he's had a 20-year career. These guys are, you know, 4 or 5 years, 4 years for Shad, 5 years for Haven. So, you know, and then 2 years, or this is the second year for, or third year for Riley. So, but then to see Riley go be 8-2. And then Shad to go out and be 7-0-6. I mean, just like, what?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now what? How fast is Haven going to be?
Yeah.
Because he was already 6-9 once today. So how fast is he going to be? And so it's just to be, again, it's like I said on the microphone, what we are witnessing, and even we miss some of our biggest stars in rodeo, Stetson Wright, Kai Hamilton. A lot of no rights were in the field, which was mind blowing.
Yeah, I thought but of that.
Witnessing, there's so much to be in this era of rodeo, and as it's growing the way that it is, you think about Ty Murray, Tuff Hedeman. Like, okay, that was, and I could be completely off on mine, but that was for Tuff, he in his heyday, early 90s. Mm-hmm. Ty was mid 90s, kind of right in there. And then we all got to watch Trevor Brazil do what he did. History, and now we're getting to see these battles and these history makers and aggregate records and round records and all of this stuff, and watching them do what they do, and as a fan, it's like, oh, it's good to be alive.
Yeah, I agree totally. Anthony, I have one final question. This is probably Steve's dumb question of the interview.
No, I do not have any pants on.
Okay. Thanks for watching, folks. Have a great day. You and Garrett had a lot of fun during the course of the rodeo because you were at the home of the Texas Rangers, World Series champions, Globe Life Field.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of little baseball quips. Did that just happen organically, or did you guys actually sit down and look at each other? And how did that happen?
So last year, I'll never forget Ben Anderson at the semifinals. It was at the Stockyards. He said something about, or no, that was would have been the year before. He said something about that's when we were in AT&T Stadium, and Ben Anderson said something, I can't wait to get to that stadium and hit a home run. And I go, well, it's a football field, so we'll have to wait on that one.
Yeah.
Well, then whenever he made it last year, he was in the 10 round, and I said something along the lines of bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, one chance to fulfill your American dream. And it was a cool setup, and Garrett kind of looked at me and he was like, that was juicy.
Yeah.
And since Garrett's moved down here, he's become a big time Texas Rangers fan and has been to a bunch of games and has become friends with some of the staff there. And so that was a deal, like, in that moment, especially after them winning the World Series, where it just heightens the notoriety of the Texas Rangers in that house, in that building. And so those all, we didn't have any of those plans, but Garrett might have had his plan. Mine, I know, because he said a couple things that I was like, oh, I bet he's been stewing on that one.
He's been stewing on that one, yeah.
And I mean, I'm, you know, some of the stuff that I said was, you know, very baseball related, but when you're in that, and there's such a, when we first walked in there, especially for us as Rangers fans, there's an air about that whole building, from the staff to everything, where they're still on that world champion high. And it brought a level of greatness before we even ever cracked a pre-foot gate or anybody nodded ahead. There was a level of expectation there because it was the home to the reigning MLB world champions, the Texas Rangers. And so all that stuff, that's a little bit of, we might have even gotten a little too heavy at times on that. But my goodness, how can you not?
I was in the audience and I thought it was, I laughed multiple times. So for whatever it's worth.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, no, you did great. It was really a well-produced, well-presented event. What's next for you, Anthony? Where are you going?
I am off for 2 weeks. The American was my 11th week of rodeo straight since Christmas. Hmm. And so I'm off for 2 weeks, and then I go to Ivins, Utah, to the Tuacon Amphitheater for a PBR. The late Mike Mathis announced that one for Sammy Andrews, and whenever we lost him, they called and asked a handful of us what we could do to help everybody out. And so I'm going to go there and do that one in his stead and hopefully make him proud. And then I think I've got 2 more weeks off. 3 weeks off after that, and then Del Rio, and then
it's off and running
till I think the third week of November. So
this last Saturday, I was the first weekend I haven't been at a rodeo this year, and so what I do, I went to a rodeo. But it's amazing. People always say, yeah, you know, January and February, you don't have much to do, right? Well, I guess we have plenty to do. And it's been a lot of fun. Anthony, thank you for your time. Yes. You asked me how long we're going to take. I said 10 minutes. You don't want to know how long we've actually been. But
always happy.
I really appreciate it. Continued success, my friend. Go get them.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve, and you as well. And you always enjoy it.
Anthony Lucia talking about the American Rodeo. Our Classic Equine, Classic Ropes featured interview of the week, Anthony Lucia talking about the American Rodeo. Today's show sponsored by Wrangler, by Preferred, by the Justin Boot Company, by Aquinity Products, online at teamaquinity.com, by Resistol. We wear it every day. And a big thank you to M2 Ranch Jerky and to Unbeatable Feeds, to Classic Equine and to Classic Ropes and the Grandview at Las Vegas. We'll do it again as the week goes along. Check out the Legends of the Hall podcast, highlighting the latest from the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. And check us out on Next Gen Rodeo Media. You can check out the Next Gen Rodeo social media sites for all the details. God bless everybody. I'm Steve Kenyon. Thanks for listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast.